along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart will go on singing. With joy I'll carry on until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home, the things of earth will dim. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the sun. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I need you today. I've about had enough. I don't think I've slept right in two nights, and I told everybody this morning it feels like I never went to bed. I miss my wife, and as all of you know, and those maybe if you don't know, her mother did pass away Friday evening at 6:45, and now the work starts, as I was told. Because I'm going to perform the service, and the family is going to split it. So next weekend, I have to perform one on Saturday evening, and then another one in Salisbury on Sunday afternoon. So Linda will be filling in my stead on Sunday morning, and I hope you all will pray for her as well. So keep Wendy in your prayers. Pray that she comes home. I do not do well as a bachelor, ever. I just don't. I'm not a bachelor anymore. It's not fun being at that house alone. As a matter of fact, the most fun I've had in the past couple weeks, and I shared this with Diane, but nobody else, if you see me bringing eggs in, y'all better get them. Because I found out that my eggs have become the most sought-after items on the planet. Yeah, went down to get eggs here the other Sunday and was standing in a coop and noticed that the birds was looking at me. What in the world's your all's problem? I started to reach into a nesting box, and there was a nice black snake eating my eggs. And I looked at him for a minute and I said, "Fella, you and I have a problem. I'm feeding these chickens, not you." So I reached in and caught him, brought him out. He looked a lot smaller in the box until I got him out. Now, what would you say that is? 6 foot? Maybe? I almost stretched him clean out. So what do you do? Well, I walked him out in the yard and had a discussion with him. The discussion went like this: "Don't you eat my eggs anymore, do you understand me?" And then I threw him throughout the yard. And he ain't been back since, believe it or not. That was the only joy I've had here for a while. But it is still a comfort knowing that the prayers that we needed this week especially came at the time that they did and we felt them. And so thank you. And it is a joy to be here this morning. Although this morning when I woke up, I didn't think I was going to make it. I did the dumbest thing I do all the time. I went in and sat down in my easy chair after the alarm went off and said, "I'm just going to sit here for a minute." And wake up late. Joys or concerns, what's upon your heart here today? If there are none others, anything to report?
Judy Barnes.
Who?
Judy Barnes.
Judy Barnes.
I don't know where my daughter got it. She had a double mastectomy on Friday.
A double mastectomy.
And they found 19 lymph nodes with cancer. So we're not sure what they'll do. And my hope is one leg is healed, the other one is coming.
Keep Judy and Leonard in the prayers as well. If there are none others, let us join our hearts together before the Lord. And as we bow, let just a hand up and down for extra prayer as it's needed and unspoken. Thank you all. Let us pray. Father, it feels difficult this morning. It feels like we face a trial just to get through the service this morning. And so let us just stop here for a moment and be prayerful and committed unto you, Father. We don't always get to stay at the top, but how much more we enjoy the peak when we get to the valley. That's an old saying and it's an old cliche, but it's never been more true. We have to learn to appreciate all things that you give us. Good and bad. Job said it. Do we thank you only when things are good and not when things are bad? No. We thank you at both times, Father. That as you have given it to us, as you seen fit, as we heard those beautiful scriptures that the sister read, we are not to know your thoughts, they are yours, but we are to be thankful and focused on you. And so this morning, let us be that way. Let us be focused on you. Let us hold dear to our hearts all the prayers that have been asked for today and those that haven't been spoken of. Let us lift up those that are suffering, fighting off terrible, destructive diseases. And those that have recovered. We thank you, Father, for bringing back family to the church. That have had to be on their own journey. And the only time that we can speak to them is through cards and letters and phone calls, Father. But still, they have returned. And that is a joy. That is a strengthening. That is an uplifting. Thank you for seeing them back. That their own presence helps glorify your spirit. And there in turn lights us up a little bit more. And for those who have lost loved ones, Father, that have truly gone on to such a better place. May we be ever mindful of what this life on earth is. It is short and it is racked with pain. And yet through a constant fix of our eyes upon your Son and His will, we are saved and we are to be taken away one day to a place more glorious than we can ever imagine. What a great blessing it is to know that. Set our hearts and minds upon the leaders of this country, Father, and upon those who protect us, whether it be in a hospital, a hospice bed, whether it be the ambulance driver, or the fireman, the policeman, whoever, the doctors, the nurses, and those who serve our military, Father. Let us keep them solidly in our hearts, that they will be prayed over and watched and kept by you. Join our hearts together, Father. Let us pray as your Son would have us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We need to have a night. Thank you, Sister Helen. We need to have a night and a Sunday evening, and it's going to happen. And I don't know who's going to be here, and I don't know what, but we need to have a Sunday evening of testimony. So we're going to make that happen. We're Greg. Greg, pop your head up. Put that on my list. You too, Diane. Don't let me forget that. We're going to have that real soon. We're going to have an evening of nothing but testimonies. Because by golly, we need to remember that Sunday mornings is about strengthening, but by hearing our own voices, we gain so much more from it. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 7 of Matthew. We've been working out of Matthew here a little bit, and after this week, I know why. Matthew chapter 7, starting in the 7th verse. And hopefully by the time this sermon is over, Diane will understand what I mean when I said, head down, keep plowing. Because when I gave her this sermon title, her response was, what? I love that. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus, in my Bible, red letters, speaking of His Word, His beautiful Word. Jesus teaching us about asking, looking, knocking, and the way to heaven. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Would you please pray with me? Father, open up our hearts and our minds. Let us receive this message. Let the words that I speak be glorifying unto you. Let them be from you through me. Let them fall in the heart today that needs it, which is all of us. Let us come to know you through these words of your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. I am a big fan of watching horses. Not racing. And I keep telling Wendy, eventually one day, she's going to hear a beep beep in the yard and I'm going to pull up with a horse trailer and there'll be a couple draft horses in the back. Because the day is coming. And her response to me is, okay, whatever. I love watching a good team of horses work. I always have. And I never got to work with them that much. And I am a big fan of horse pulls. I'll go somewhere and watch one. Because I love watching who's got a team and who don't. You see, the horse pull is very simple. You take a team of two, you hook them to the weight, and they go until they stop. But they have to be trained to keep their head down and pay attention to what they're doing. One of the most recent horse pulls I saw, I watched 18 teams of different horses come in there. All kinds of different people and all kinds of different training. And you could pick out who knew and who didn't and who was learning and who wasn't learning anything. And this man, big like me, big team of Belgians, big horses. I thought, now there's the man I want to watch. He walked them horses off that trailer and they went this way. And he'd pull and they'd go that way. And he'd yell at them and he used foul language at them. And he got them up there to the horse. And he got them around the corner to the ring. And by the time they were trying to drop the ring, the horses kept rearing away. And they kept carrying on and they kept beating themselves. And finally when they got hooked up to the sled, their heads was up, they was carrying on, and they went 6 feet. And he unhooked them things and he whipped them and they walked down the track. And I thought, well, that don't make sense. Here's an old fellow that ought to know better. Then a young boy came up. He was about that big around. I am not lying to you. A stiff wind would have blowed him down the street. And he had a team of Clydesdales, and I know they were 16 hands. They were huge. And he come walking down the side of that track, and I work at the horse pulls. I like to help and unload the blocks in the sled because I love being next to them. He come walking down the track like this. He was just touching those reins. Just touching them. Those horses just walked. No aggravation. No nothing. Walked around the side of that sled. Hup! He brought them back. And most of them horses, the minute they hear that chain drop on that hook, they're ready to go. He backed them up, walked them back. Just kept pulling on the reins. And when they brought back, he put one rein in his hand, reached down and pulled the hook in. The horses never moved. And he turned around and he looked and the man said, go. And he whistled to him and them horses dug in. And they pulled that weight box out to 20 feet and wanted to keep going. And at the moment of command, he just simply said, hup! And they stopped dead. Step one back, he reached down, unhooked them, and walked them away. The crowd came to their feet. I was a mess. I was, oh, golly, I'll tell you. And another fella came up and he had a good horse and a bad horse. One horse head down, one horse head up. Anybody in here ever farmed with one on each side that was bad? Frank? Herman? This man walked up to his new horses. The one kept stepping out of the traces. Kept wanting to walk away. And he never whooped him. He walked up, caught him by the muzzle, pulled his head down, talked to him. And I'm telling you, that horse stepped back in the traces, put his head down, he called to them, and away they went. It was beautiful. You could see head down. Keep plowing. It's easy to look up and suddenly go in another direction. You don't keep your head down. All of a sudden, you're looking the wrong way. The horses that were the best trained would simply walk up with their heads like this. And they would do their work. And then when they were done, they would look up and walk away. And it got to me. Oh, I'm going to get a team of horses. Oh, that day is coming. Well, at least I think it is. I do have a wife. Ask her. But how easy is it to suddenly look up and wander away? Everybody in here has seen little babies once they start walking, right? Once they figure out that they can get up on them feet and go, oh boy. Take two of them the same age and try that one out. Oh, that's loads of fun. And they go anywheres but where you would come over here, come out, would you come in? And I watch them in the park like herding cats. They go because they don't have any direction. They just see everything. They don't have any focus. And I tell the story all the time. When Buck was, 16, 18 months old, I was in charge of watching them. Well, that was a mistake. And I was standing in the room watching them. I thought I was doing good. And Wally made a run for the dog dish because he wanted to play in the water. And as I ran to get Wally out of the dog dish, Buck cut across in front of me and I kicked him right into the coffee table. Buck had to have 3 stitches in his lip. Oh, that was a night I'll never forget. The whole time we're holding him down in there, the doctor's looking at me going, did you do this? Yes, I did. What'd you do? I kicked him into the coffee table. And the doctor said, what? And I had to explain it. You look up for a minute, you look away from where you're at for a minute, and you're gone. head down, keep plowing. We are grown up, and yet we're little babies. Look up for a minute, look the wrong way, let things take a hold of you, and you're off the track. I look at what Jesus spoke right here, and I think this is easy to understand. Head down, keep plowing. I love going up to Amish country, and I get to go quite often, and I get to go into a world that you all may not necessarily go to. I get to see the farms behind the scenes, because we haul to a place where it's surrounded by them, and I get to watch them work those horses. And I get to watch people that are no bigger than Sierra out there take a team of six big horses and head to the field to go to work. And that's what they do. I have worked horses a little bit. I worked for a man that raised Clydesdales. And he used to set me out to mowing hay with those Clydesdales on an old pull-type mower. And that's where I got the real good understanding that when you're out working horses, your view of the world doesn't change much. Think about that one for a second. When you're working behind a team, your view of the world doesn't change hardly at all, does it? Got it now? Some of the most beautiful times, that quiet serenity. Just me and them big horses. Now, I have only plowed but a couple of times with horses, and I got to tell you right now, I am not necessarily certain I am the most patient person to be on a single bottom plow behind a horse. Because they're going the way I want to go, which is back to the barn. And yet I've watched it at these plowing contests. Men walk up and walk those horses and keep them straight and turn that dirt over and make the most beautiful straight furrows you've ever seen and lay out a field that is something that you just stand at one corner of the edge and you go, head down, kept plowing. How about this? Different way to look at it. You don't want to call it head down, keep plowing? Submit yourself totally. Wholly. Completely. Let him go. And it's great. Walked in on my Sunday school class this morning. 2 Timothy, right out of the gate. Avoid youthful lusts. Submit. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Avoid youthful lusts. Submit yourself. Quit trying to be your old self. Anybody want to know why I called and asked for prayer for me this week? You know me well enough to know I will not ever not tell you anything. I got a speeding ticket a month and a half ago. You can yell at me later. I got a big speeding ticket a month and a half ago. I was on my motorcycle. I pulled out in front of a car from the driveway of my uncle, and that's a blind spot. And I was getting away from the car that was about to run over me, and it just felt too good not to let out of it, and I didn't. And I kept on keeping on until Mr. State Trooper helped me to realize you don't do that. It's funny now, but it's not really funny. At any moment, anything could have happened. I'd been dead. At any moment, anything could have happened, and I could have left everything behind. And a ticket like that could have cost me a driver's license. My livelihood, my world. Avoid youthful lusts. Submit yourself wholly. Head down, keep plowing. Well, guess what? This past week I had to go to court for it. I had to get that ticket down. Now, I'm going to tell you about this scene of just how stupid a man can feel. In this courtroom were kids ranging in 18 to 25 and me. And the kids kept looking, well, you don't hear old man. And I had a coat and a tie on because I want to be a little bit impressive. I've cleaned myself up. And they're wearing shorts and whatever else it is. And I'm the oldest guy in the room. I'm thinking. So the judge talks to him. And these kids, oh, it's my first speeding ticket, Your Honor. And this is my first speeding ticket. And of course, couldn't wait till the end, until everybody else was done to pick me out. No, I was the third person to get up there. And the judge laid into me in front of the whole room. You ought to know better than that. What is wrong with you? Aren't you old enough to know the difference between right and wrong? And I'm standing there going, yes. And he's lighting me up, but he's being right. I'm old enough to have known better that it's time to submit myself. Head down, keep plowing. Jesus said, wide is the way, right? Oh, it's easy to get on that road. Because you can walk, you can spread out. You ain't got to walk narrow. The judge was merciful. He let me go. But everything is a sermon to me. And I walked out of there that day going, I got too comfortable. I got too complacent. I started looking up when I shouldn't have. And away I went. That's me. That's you. Head down. Keep plowing. You know what happens? You get to thinking you're unstoppable. I was sitting on a whole lot of horsepower. Ain't no car going to catch me. Whatin'? I'm thinking I'm okay. Just a moment. And yet that moment, that instant, I was taken away from the furrow, from the path, from the straight. And I was going back to what Paul said. I was not leaving the youthful lust behind. And it's the same thing we do, people. We get too much in our own self. And you're no longer plowing. Now you're plowing for trouble. Anybody in here got a hard head? Oh, come on. Every hand in the room ought to come up. The captain of a ship looked out into a dark and stormy night, and he saw faint lights in the distance. Captain of a big, gigantic freighter walked in and told his signalman, send this message, alter your course 10 degrees south. And promptly the return message came, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angry. Here he was in command of the greatest freighter ever to be on the water at that time. He was the great captain of the great ship carrying everything that the world needed, and he became mad. He sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. You alter your course 10 degrees north. I am third class seaman Jones. Now the captain has a blood pressure problem. He's so mad, he's pounding his fists on the desk, he's screaming at everybody. He sent the third message, knowing that it would invoke fear. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. And the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. Think about it. You can chuckle, but you know where I'm coming from. Your head can mess you up, can take you away. In the midst of our dark and foggy times, all sorts of voices are shouting orders into the night. Look at Job, thank you. Dark and foggy, everybody's got the attitude. Everybody can tell you what to do. Oh, you'll be all right. Oh, you know, this and that. Everybody's trying to tell us how to adjust our lives. Look up. Look at the world. You need this, you need that, you need that. You need drink, you need to be here. You need to saunter your way a time away doing whatever. Go out and buy something, women. I just don't feel like myself today, so I'm going to go shopping. Men? Oh, I've had a hard day. I'm going to the auction. You looked up. Head down. Keep plowing. Out of the darkness, one voice signals something that is so opposite to the rest, it's almost absurd, but that is the voice of the light of the world, and we ignore it at our own peril. I still have problems submitting. I still have problems keeping my head down. I still have those problems, and I always will. That will be the thorn in my side. Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Head down. Submitting yourself. It's been that kind of week for all of us in this room. Something somewhere has caused you to just suddenly drift away for a moment. Maybe somebody made you good and mad, and I'm always saying the same thing, and I'm glad I can. It's like my dad said, I preach about the same thing every Sunday, just from a different angle. But it's all the same. Brother Frank prayed with me this morning, And he uses these words a lot, and every time he does, I have to smile because they're absolutely true and they're wonderful words, and I'm glad when he says it, he starts off his prayers like this: Father, we have failed you. Forgive us. Looked up. Doesn't mean you can't always look up. You just got to wait till you get to the end of the road. That is the thing. We can get ahead of ourselves by the way we have life pressing in on us. And it has pressed in on me this week, on my wife this week, on you this week, on you, on everybody in this room. What do you do at this point? Do you wring your hands and run away? Or do you put your head down and keep plowing? Keep pulling. Keep going. We have to bear up. Jesus says it. He says, in the midst of your time and your trouble, what does he say? Ask and it will be given to you. We sing a song. Don't we sing a hymn? Ask and it shall... Something like that. Let me sing that some more. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open to you. For everyone asks, receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. For no matter what is going on in your life, here I am. You just need to ask me. You just need to help me. You just need to ask me to help you put your head back down. I'll do it. I'll do it. When we look up, we can really get in trouble, can't we? I read the story about a newly retired couple, and this is a bad joke, but I'm sorry. It's actually a true story. I read the story about a newly retired couple who sold everything they owned, cashed in all their stocks and bonds, sold their house, sold everything, and bought one of the biggest, finest-looking motorhomes on the entire market. Big, giant motorhome, did everything. Had a great feature in it called cruise control. I've got cruise control in my tractor trailer. I love it. As they were traveling on the West Coast, the husband became tired. Now, I'm not sure if I believe this story, and looked at the wife and said, here, you drive. I'm going to get in so much trouble. He went back to the bed in the back and laid down to take a nap. She was driving. Hey, it was in the West. Straight roads. Have you ever been to Kansas? I have. You drive for 3,000 miles and the road never moves. They were driving in the West and it was perfect. She put the cruise control on and it was great. And after about an hour, she thought, well, everything's set. She got up and went to the bathroom. See, she thought cruise control meant automatic pilot. And that's what she told the state trooper after they pulled her from the wreck. Nobody was seriously hurt, but the camper was totaled. It's a true story. How many of you guys put your life in cruise control thinking it was automatic pilot? I don't have to do anything now. I'm saved. I can go forward. That was me. You know, that was the old me. Well, guess what? The old me is waiting. Always waiting. Always right there. Cruise control is not automatic pilot. Many Christians have put their lives on cruise control because they are not in worship, they are not in study, they are not paying attention to the Bible, they're not taking 5 minutes a day, 20 minutes to read something somewhere in the Bible. Cruise control, not automatic pilot. We just need to keep plowing. We just need to keep at it. You see, it's work that keeps us close to God, not the good times. We get happy, we forget. Want a good example of it? Peggy made me a pie. Now, I know when I go home to eat that pie, one slice, I'm liable to forget that. And Wendy's liable to come home to an empty pie plate. Same thing. We get to going too good, we forget. It's the work that keeps us close to God. Friends, brothers, sisters, it is the hard times that makes us constantly pray. I've been in prayer every day, all day, for the past month and a half. Please, God, don't let me get in trouble. Afterwards, I have been in prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is the work that keeps us close. Head down, keep plowing. That's how I had to go this past time. Head down, keep plowing. Forced to work. And the lesson here is learned that while he answered my prayer, I still had to answer for complacency. I still had to answer for not remembering my life is not on automatic pilot. It is the times of trials that keep us working and keep us close to God. Be thankful for the reward. James even writes about it. For as much as we are blinded and hard-headed and are forced to keep the head down and keep plowing, what's right there for us? James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He calls to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture said God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter from mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Head down, keep plowing. Amen? That's what we have to do. Straight way is to Christ is submission. Letting go to grab on. Not looking up to see what the world is saying, but staying on our path. Not caring what others think because you're different. Keep on the path. Even though when people think of you as strange and look at you with wonder, let them. I love it when we get done praying in a restaurant and the table next to us is like, what the heck was that? I had to do it this week at work. There was a group of guys down there unloading. And they were all talking about a barbecue they had been to over the weekend. And they got to talking about all the girls that were there and everything that was going on. I had to walk away. I had to go away from them where I couldn't hear it. Because I didn't want to hear that mess. I didn't want to hear that trouble. I didn't want to hear about that. Oh, I got so drunk. Really? And that was exciting? That's who we are. That's keeping your head down. That's keeping plowing. Oh, I could have stood there and went, really? What was she wearing? Walk away. Be the Christians you are. Head down, keep plowing. I guess what I should say is head down, keep praying. Is that better? I like plowing. By doing that, you're going to find you can stay on that path a lot easier. Something to think about, though, is with all that work, there's a reward waiting. And no, it's not a big juicy apple like you would give a horse or a fresh bag of oats. Although I like apples. It is heaven. It is the grace of Jesus Christ and the ushering through those gates. Well done, good and faithful servant. But I say last week, the old boy trying to make the points. The only way into heaven is the grace of good Lord Jesus Christ. Grace of God. By His grace, we can keep our head down, keep plowing, keep praying. Get that reward. I was at a farm, and I watched them finish up. They had just got done. And the little boy took the horses back to the barn. He tied them off one at a time at the rail. And he got a bucket and a sponge and he began to rub those big beasts down and loved on them and patted them and gave them a little carrot and gave them something after those horses had worked so hard for him. And you could see how much they loved it and the way they kept nudging him. There ain't nothing more beautiful than that at that moment. Head down, keep plowing, here's your reward. Jesus Christ said, I have something waiting for you. Now that you've taken me, now that you work for me, I have you ready at the end to be with me. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, straight and narrow. It's an old joke. A lot of people say a lot of things about it, but it's the truth. It's the only way we're coming home. It's the only way we can get through this time here. Head down, keep plowing. Keep praying. Strengthen us, Father. Let us understand what the words say, that the times of joy, while great and full, compare nothing to the work that brings us closer. Let us remember that. When we're facing those trials, when we're facing those troubles, you're giving it to us, not that we might look up, but that we might seek you even closer. Our joy doesn't have to be here. Our joy is somewhere else beyond. Thank you for the valleys, Father. Sometimes it seems we'll never get out of them. Sometimes it seems like it just keeps getting darker and darker. But you're there and you carry us through and you take us out to the top. Be with each of us as we head into this week, Father. I pray that my words have been met and reached out. That the message that we take to those around us in the week to come is my Savior watches over me and keeps me on that straight and narrow. And I am happy for it. Would you like to be happy? Let me introduce you to my Jesus. In the week to come, Father, give us the strength we need. And we'll be thankful evermore for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Need that strengthening? Need that extra time? Right here. Need that extra prayer? Right there. As we sing this last hymn, as we go through this, come on up. I'm ready to pray with you. Because what I do with you strengthens me. So I like it. And I know you'll come away better for it. Don't leave here without it. Herman. It's okay. Don't worry. Just let him lay. Yeah, shut them doors, Greg. Let us join our hearts together and be in prayer just for this moment. Pray with me, please. Father, bless Denny. There is not a more beautiful servant that I know whose love is completely with you. And even though he is endured with trials and afflictions, he continues to work through and love you and be for you, Father. He truly does live the words of the song, I live for you. Strengthen him, Father, and lift him back up. And let our prayers be heard. In Jesus' name, amen.